ある方から。My humble salutations to everybody. I will try to start mostly in English, but sometimes when I get carried away and I say something in Telugu, if there is anybody who does not know Telugu, I need a translator sometimes, occasionally. I hope everybody can manage a little bit of Telugu here and there, but if you don't understand, somebody please just translate and I'll wait. And I'll keep it very free format, so please feel free to raise your hand, ask, make it completely interactive. So before I begin, I want to just make one statement. Somehow, astrology was my soul's journey for the past more than 30 years. I believe that journey is over, so I'm very free about it. And whatever statement I made, you'll probably understand from my presentation when I go through the contents. I made a small presentation here, so let me stick to that. Everybody is able to see. So, what is astrology? That is my first question. Before we get into what exactly is astrology, I want to say that there are multiple flavors of astrology. A lot of, like you go to an ice cream shop, you will get multiple flavors. And there are two main flavors in this. One is called divination or daivajnatma. What do you fundamentally expect when you're approaching a daivajna or an astrologer? What is your impression of an astrologer? Can anybody tell? Anyone, just say something, it's okay.
Guidance.
Right? You have a problem, you go to someone, you ask for guidance.
Prediction, solution.
Yeah, you don't ask for prediction, you say that this is what I'm facing, this is my problem. You tell me. Or you go, I want to do business, will it go well or not? Tell me, that's what you want. And just to add a little bit more, because if I really go fast, it will be finished in 15 minutes. I just want to add a little more information, which is entertaining. Okay? So Raghu is the first sabda, if you are familiar with it. The king Raghu goes to meet his guru Vasishta, and then there is a whole description of how he goes and all that. Why he goes? Because he is an able king, very powerful man, and he has no children to support to continue the lineage. And he needs help. So he should go to his guru. So he goes to his guru and asks, "Sir, whenever there is any problem with the Ikshvakus, you are the one who are able to guide us. Ikshvakunam durape arthe," again, entertainment. Don't care too much about what I say. "Ikshvakunam durape arthe tvadadhinahi siddhaya." You have the powers to solve our problems, so tell me what to do. Then what he does not consult a horoscope. No. He sits and then goes into samadhi, meditation. And the way he is described is, he sits into dhyana and then his mind was like supta meena iva hradaha. His mind became like a lake where the fishes are not moving. Okay, that is the beauty of Kalidasa's description. So his mind, he goes into the depth of that, meditates on it, and he finds that there is a cause for this problem. He says that, see, once you were coming from heaven because you were eager to get children, and during the hurry, you have unknowingly insulted Kamadeva. So that is Pratibadhnati hi shreya pujya puja vyatikramaha. When you are going to do something and you do a committee mistake, especially when you disrespect elders, while doing that, your thing won't give any phala, you will fail. So that is what is the cause of it. Now you should worship the son of daughter of Kamadenu, who is in my ashram. Do the worship for 21 days, get her anugraha, and then your problem will be solved. So is there any astrology involved in this? No, that is divination. Okay? So astrology is one tool as part of a bigger concept called divination or devagnyatva. Shakuna Shastra also comes into the same thing. And to do that, to become a devagna, you don't need astrology. Right? And even today, when people approach our problems, the typical stereotype of an astrologer is somebody who is wearing a lot of rudrakshas, with vibhuti, power, authority. Astrologer should not have self-doubt when he is a devagna. Okay? You should say, this is how you do it, this will happen. And because that stereotype is so easily imitable, there are so many fakes, unfortunately. Right? So, consider that astrology originally was a divination. Now, in the past 200 years or so, that devagnatva aspect being one thing, people have become more and more educated and became much more left brain. Okay? So, there is a lot of intellectualization of astrology. Right? So, what is intellectualization of astrology? Right? That means, you have some shastras, you write books on the shastras, you study them, you analyze them, and then you try to apply it in your real life. Okay? And then there is no other aspect of upasana or siddhi or whatever, nothing. And then you just apply logic. Now you take Brihadparashara Hora Shastra or Saravali or whatever, and then he talks about so many yogas. Gajakesari Yoga is there, this combination of Jupiter and Moon is there, this combination of Sun and Saturn is there. This is the result he says. Now you forget all the aspect of application, that upasana, how it all are gone. Now you know there is a principle, you try to apply it in a horoscope. That is what is I call as intellectualization of astrology. And we confuse between these two a lot. We think that we go to someone like me who has intellectualized it all his life and ask him for divination and he cannot do the divination there. Because he has only understood it as a subject. Okay, this confusion should go. That's why I'm telling there are two flavors here. So if you are asking me to do divination to solve your problems, unfortunately I may think I will be able to solve it, but I cannot. I'm not qualified to do that. Right? Whereas you go to somebody like Master E.K., he will be able to tell something because of his, he not only knows astrology as a subject, he also has the appropriate sadhana or siddhi associated with it. Right? So remember this. Now, in this intellectual discipline as astrology, which I have pursued with all of my energy so far, there are two main branches. Okay? One is the Indian branch of astrology, which we call the traditional astrology, where what I have talked about, this Parashara's books, or then you have all the traditional Sanskrit works, and recently all the learned people, right, they have written, they have done a lot of work. For example, B.V. Raman Garu, he has written 300 combinations, Hindu predictive astrology, this is there, and there is a lot of literature there. And then you go spend years and years memorizing the yogas, combinations, left, right, center. That is one type of astrology. The second type of astrology is mainly influenced by the Western way of approach to astrology, where you see astrology as a symbol interpretation. Okay? This came from the theosophical influence and other developments in the Western astrology, where they look at, okay, what does sun actually mean in your life? What does moon actually mean in your life? What does Mercury mean in your life? How are they aligned with each other? What it could mean to your psychology? What did it mean to your life? That is symbol interpretation. So, Indian astrology, traditional astrology is centered on yogas or combinations. What is the combination of this planet plus that planet, seventh lord plus tenth lord, like what god is it? That is the combination of it. So, you look at a combination and then you remember, okay, that combination has an associated result. Is that result happening in this life? That is the approach there. But in this, the approach is, okay, sun is aspected with Saturn. Sun is your vital energy or whatever. Saturn is a limitation. So you have any health problems, you have misfortunes, you have doubts. That is how you interpret symbol interpretation. Okay. I experimented with this and I gave an Oscar of it and left it out because I'll tell you why later. I mainly stuck to modern astrology, symbol interpretation. Okay. Now, there is another thing. Spiritual.
Whether it is Western astrology or same in Indian thing, modern thing.
Sorry?
Whether it is Western astrology means whether it is only the Western people or in Indian tradition.
No, no, see, this once some trend starts somewhere, everybody will embrace it. Okay? So, but this trend actually started with theosophy, and then even our Indian astrologers have started adopting it. You will see even spiritual astrology and all this kind of symbol interpretation, even Indian astrology also you will see that the trend mixes. But mainly even today, generally symbol interpretation is Western oriented and yogas or combination oriented astrology is more Indian this thing, Indian trend. Now we have
because there also we'll see when the position of the moons and what the trine or something like that. But here also you're telling that it's the same thing which houses. So what is the difference between
The difference between is that you are required to remember, memorize a lot of combinations here in traditional astrology. And you don't try to interpret, you try to recollect. For example, let us say you have a combination like Gajkesari Yoga. Gajkesari Yoga means a combination of Jupiter and Moon in certain position with each other. You say that okay, Gajkesari Yoga, you remember it, what does it give? Okay, that is what you remember. Whereas this, okay, Jupiter and Moon, okay, what is Moon? Moon is your personal life, okay, your home life, and Jupiter is benevolence, all kind of religiosity, spirituality and all. Then you can say, okay, this person is born into a religious family, maybe. Okay? And then his life is comfortable because Jupiter is luck, and then Moon is his personal life, he is privileged. That is how you interpret here. Here you don't care about too much interpretation here, okay? You are, okay, your ninth lord and your lagna lord is combined, you have Raja Yoga, means you will have a powerful position in society. That is how you go here. There you don't go. Okay? So that is, these are the two flavors. And why I am telling you this right now is, you come to an ice cream shop and I have only one flavor to sell, okay? And my flavor is draksha flavor, and you are expecting some strawberry flavor, you won't get it. You won't get divination from me, you won't get this yogas or combination of traditional astrology from me. Okay? So better decide now and don't waste your time. So okay, in my classes, at least in the first class, you have to wear your seat belts. Okay? So you will know why. Now coming to spiritual astrology, we have especially in Theosophy and especially in Master EK and Master KPK Guru's tradition, we have a lot of spiritual astrology. We talked about the book by Master EK, Spiritual Astrology. I read it several times at a stage, and then it is way beyond us, to be very honest. And I'll come back to that, but again, I put a namaskar to that because I decided that it is way beyond me, and then I don't want to. When I can read about cosmic levels and supracosmic levels and solar system levels, tomorrow morning I have to go to office in Bangalore traffic and handle nonsense in office, and that is my immediate concern, and I am not able to focus on that or do any practices there, so I put in namaskar. So, but I know the congregation here is more interested in this than anything else. I won't be able to do justice there. So again, don't waste your time with me if you are interested in this. Okay. Next, the popular astrology in newspapers, nonsense. There is nothing else to say there. Next. So to set the expectations first, again, and the same thing, I have to get into the shoes of Mr. Mohan Babu and then talk about my own journey here. Okay, so please bear with me for next 20 minutes or half an hour or whatever, okay? Why I am telling this is, the story, remember the story of Vishwamitra, or how Bhagavatam begins. What is the first story they tell in Bhagavatam? Can anybody tell? What is the first story that is narrated in Bhagavatam? Anybody? It is Narada's previous Bharata. Why? Okay? It's fundamentally a failure story. Okay? And there is, I mean, not exactly a failure story, but it's a kind of failure story, but that's why he narrates it. Second thing is Vishwamitra, when he takes Rama and Lakshmana to for that Yaga, in the path, he tells a lot of stories, and along with them, he tells his own story. Okay? And he has so many phases in life and so many things he did. That is the reason why I am telling this. Okay? So, it's not a thing I am proud of, but I have to tell you this. So, my first astrology, I was born in 1976, December. Okay? And my first astrology touch came in 1987. That is after I finished my 6th class. And in summer holidays, M.R.L. Rao garu, he came to Amalapuram and he conducted astrology classes. So I attended your class. It was beautiful. One of the most beautiful experiences I cannot ever forget. So the way he talked, the way he presented, talked about the signs and planets and everything. I used to take a book like you guys and then note down all of that, remember the symbols and all that. It was a big, big, big impulse. But then afterwards, I forgot, because the big roadblock was how to cast a horoscope those days. It was very tough, very, very tough. You have to get ephemerides, you have to get these tables of houses and all that. So by the time he finished how to, basically see, M.R.L. Rao garu, he only talks about in any classes, right? He talks about the signs, the planets, maybe some houses. And by the time he finishes it, 10 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks will be gone. And then he says, okay, you learn how to cast the horoscope and then that's it. So all basics about, and then he moves on. So I just barely could follow, or his classes were finished by the time he completed the science and everything. And then that was one impulse I forgot. 1991 summer was after my 10th class holidays. So I went to our college library and I got the books of Jyotisha Prakashamu by C.H.S. and Rajgar, which was actually notes given by Master E.K. in his lectures. So that was again another huge influence. First part, kind of read it, and I was very interested. And then the second part, Jyotisha Prakashamu part 2, was where these combinations, yoga, it's a mix of, Master E.K. was a mix of East and West, Western astrology. I was very, very, very impressed. I used to tell my dad that, Dad, you have Mars in your 7th house. That is why you keep fighting with Mom. Now that I used to say. So Mars is the Lord of War. And then 7th house is the life, which is the house of your life part. So I used to try. And in 92, when I was in, after my intermediate first year exams were over, Parthi Kumar garu's younger brother, Surendranath garu, he is a classmate and friend of my dad. So he came to our house and I distinctly remember the Sri Ramanavami day. He came along with his wife to our house and then I started talking about astrology with him because I know that he knows astrology and he was very impressed. He taught me what are nakshatras, what are navamshas, lagnas and all that. This was a talk and he was very impressed with my enthusiasm. So in 1990, so that was one time, in 1992, June, July, for MCET coaching, I went to Vizag for a couple of 2 months of summer. But summer, instead of MCET coaching, I did everything else. Because I was in Vizag, I used to go to Radha Madhavam. And then there I used to look at the ephemerides. I got J.L.N. Shastri garu's Jataka Chakramanu Gurinchi Paddhati book. And then with whatever intermediate math enthusiasm, understand what is ephemeris, understand what is tables of forces. Spend hours and hours in Radha Madhavam, old Radha Madhavam prayer room with Vasu was there. Vasu. And I used to ask ephemerates from him. Not the ephemerate positions I used to copy and what we had done. So 1992 I learned how to cast a horoscope. 1993, March or so in Navani, Surendranath garu published an article about how to calculate dashas and antardashas. I quickly mastered it. And then in Jyotisha Prakashamu volume introduction, Master E.K. said something that the dashantardasa should not be calculated in solar years. They should be calculated in Savana Vatsaras, which is 360 days is 1 year. That is how you should calculate the dashas and antardashas. He said there are 5 types of years. He says this even in Bhagavata Rahasya Prakashamu. He said Savana Vatsaras are for these calculations. So I said, okay, this dashantardasa calculation is all wrong now. Right? We are using solar years. And in Varangraha Santardasha, over the time you are getting another Dasha Santardasha. So I had to fix it, right? I was very enthusiastic. So I developed an algorithm by hand. While calculating the Dashas, how do you add corrections as you go month by month and then make sure that only it is calculated in Savana Vatsaras is something I did by hand. I wrote it as an article and posted it to Surendranath garu secretly. Secretly, all during the time of intermediate MCET. That critical time of my life. He was shocked that a boy of hardly 16, 17 years, he is so much of enthusiasm. So he talked to my dad and then he gave some solid astrology books to my dad. And my dad kept them hidden secretly without showing me because obviously I had to prepare for MCET. Now after intermediate secondary exams are over, before the actual coaching begins for Namsat, he gave me one big treasure to me. Said that I am giving it to you only for a few days. You finish your exam and then I'll give it to you back. The book is A to Z Horoscope Maker and Delineator by Llewellyn George. It's a master book of so I still have it. The one gifted by Sir Anand. I can put it here actually. Yeah, so it was 24 hours to 48 hours. It was like a person who is hungry for months and months, given some food, like how he imbibes and absorbs like that. I absorbed that book, I understood what is progression, how to do all of that. If only I had showed that enthusiasm and mindset, my life would have been very different. No, that is done. So 1993, MSAT was a big zero. Intermediate somehow I cleared with 77%. My dad felt compassionate for me. This boy somehow is so enthusiastic about this. Let me do something for him. And anyway, he knows that my line probably is somewhere in this. Probably he won't live a normal life. Let us let him help anyway. What is this? In our town, there was a great knowledge astrologer. And he was very, very famous. Politicians, police officers, DSP, all that. RDOs used to flock around. And he was my dad's colleague. He was a geology lecturer. My dad is a Telugu lecturer. And we are friends. They were friends. So he went to him and said, sir, my boy is very interested in astrology. Can you take him as an apprentice or something like that? And he said, by all means, I got an indication already. Yes, get him. Something like that, he said. So I got this Dasantradasha article, whatever I have taken, and along with my dad, I went that evening. And I have to tell about this character. I can even write a novel about this character, actually. He is a typically like a Daivagna. How he looks with the sandal paste and all that, Rudrakshas, and then upper half no cloth, and then this panche, and then in a padakurchi he used to lie down with, hands up, and then his embodiment of that authority figure, authority guru figure, will scold people who come, that kind of person. So I read out this article to him, and then he didn't express anything, and he said that there is some book, so and so. There it says like this. What it says is that you should not use Savanasaras either. You should use Chandramasaras and all that. He said something. Answer. And I was not satisfied, but I didn't say anything. I was very, 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 extreme introvert, basically. Very, very hard for me to speak like this. So seeing myself speak like this in front of people is a miracle in my life, actually. I never done that before. I only did it recently. So now I become an apprentice of him. My job is every evening, he will have a sabha in his house, okay? So after his college is over, he come to his house and then get into the satire and all that. And then with dhupa and then with some stotras going on in the background, there are a lot of people waiting for him in queue. And then he comes, sits, takes his position, and then with each person's horoscope, he gives his readings and all that. Now my job is to collect the horoscopes before. And it all in Narayana system. I have to make the chart in the Narayana system, Indian traditional system, put, calculate all the dasas and antardasas, keep all these ready for him, right? Now, his style is like this, okay? Chasta! Sarachyana jasta! He used to shout and then he used to yell and then he used to say something and all that. And he has a Nadi Grantha, apparently. And then he has some palm leaves books in one of his trunk, okay? He used to take them out. And then he used to take them out and then he used to do some calculation by his hand, which I don't know. Take some leaf, read out something and all that. It was all very overwhelming for me. Because I was already scared and then it was like even more scary. And he taught me almost nothing. Almost nothing. Okay? So, and I was not mature enough to understand that there is something going wrong. I don't know that. I was hoping that there is some shastra that I will learn from him. But I was getting nothing from him. But, you see, even if I was very innocent and immature, over time things will sink in. At first shock you may not know, but over weeks you will know that something is not right. There are three things contributed to this, okay? Because I know Sanskrit. I was very interested in Sanskrit. Not as passionately as astrology, but I was passionately enough interested in Sanskrit. So I already knew a bit of Sanskrit. This person, this guru, the way he says, whenever he looks at any horoscope or looks at Nadi Grantha, he used to chant slokas left right center like that, like a scholar, and they'll sound like this. Okay, విద్వన్యాగ్రదంవాపి విదురూపధరాదిక ఆస్తంభేయం దదింజత్వం విద్వానేవ మతిస్తదా. కెన్ యు రీడ్ ఇట్ వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్? ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ సంస్క్రిట్, ఇట్ ఇస్ జిబరిష్. మిమిక్రి వేణుమాధవ్, ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఎవర్ సీన్, యూస్ టు టాక్ తమిళ్. ఇట్స్ నాట్ తమిళ్, ఓకే? యూస్ టు టాక్ యాజ్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ సౌండ్స్ లైక్ తమిళ్. Like that, this person was talking as if like it is Sanskrit, saying that these are stotras, okay? It's not Sanskrit. Initially, I didn't ask, what is Vidvanyaka Tadamvapi? Can you analyze the meaning? No, nothing. There is nothing to analyze. It is not even Sanskrit, okay? He is only faking it. It was a fake, okay? I did not know that. That is one thing. Second thing is the Nadi Grandha that he has is not even the Nadi Grandha. It has Namakam, Chamakam and all those things. You just keep it with him. Take all this. That is the second shot. Third shot is, see, when you go into this mathematics, calculate all your horoscopes and all that, right? Sometimes you make mistakes, right? Once I made a mistake in the horoscope and gave it to him. But his results were like, his flow was going wrong, okay? I realized later, oh my god, I gave a wrong horoscope. But there was no problem there. Right horoscope or wrong horoscope, there is no problem. It just goes on like that. That this has nothing to do with astrology. It has nothing to do with Nadi Grandha, it has nothing to do with anything. But I have seen him telling certain results sometimes spectacular way. So I concluded that he might have probably some anthroposophy. Okay? And then, but he loved me. He loved my sincerity, he loved me. And then I heard him telling people that we have to develop this personality. Make him confident and strong, and then he even told my dad that he will leave with Chandra Nadi. But then I had a decision to make now. Accept all of this, wait for whatever secret that he has, get it from him, go in the direction, or put a namaskar, and then find out whatever truth you want. Okay? So I took the second part. I put a namaskar after 2 months, silently stopped going, and I completely written the chapter back. And he is no more now, so I am able to freely tell about all of this, okay? But that was a very interesting, shocking experience, right? And then the next episode. While I was very deeply interested in astrology, right? I was looking after ephemerates. Ephemerates, do you know, has anybody ever seen it? The table of planetary positions, basically, a big book will be there. In my dad's friend's house, there was this big ephemerate, okay? So I used to go to their house every now and then to get it. I even used to copy pages and pages of planetary positions, like the birth month or birth couple of birth months of my family. All of those positions I used to hand copy, because ephemerates are very costly. You have to get from US. So this person, he got it a very costly $34-$35 worth of ephemerates, and he kept it. And all the sadhakas like this, they used to, Masarikas, Linajur, they used to go and use it for casting horoscopes. Now in that was an ephemeris of Rosicrucian Fellowships ephemeris. So I saw an advertisement on the ephemeris that they are offering postal correspondence astrology course. So I wrote a letter to this Rosicrucian Fellowship in California that I am interested in this course. So they immediately sent me. It happened in 1993, all in 1993. So I was 17. So then they sent me the first lesson of Rosicrucianism, first lesson of astrology, along with some pamphlets and all. And then I was like very, very, very enthusiastic. By the time I joined BSc, and I know that next three years of BSc is like I am retired for 3 years, I am doing nothing. So my only focus is going to be this or Masarika's books and all. So I started pursuing this Rosicrucian Fellowships astrology correspondence course.
What is Rosicrucian?
Yeah, it is like Theosophical Society. Rose cross, and Master KPK also talks a lot about it. Their symbol is a cross with a garland of roses. It is very close to Freemasonry, very close to Theosophy. It's a version of Theosophy and Freemasonry, but in a Christian garb. Okay? So Theosophy, if any of you are familiar, Theosophy is close to Buddhist thoughts. They have taken a lot, there is a book called Esoteric Buddhism. They have added a lot of Eastern ideas into philosophy. These people take the same core but add a flavor of Christianity into it. We have a flavor of Buddhism and Hinduism, they have flavor of Christianity, but content, code, everything is same. Okay. So once I started their astrology course, I was doing, again, it was like I'm the champion. I was doing it very well. I was getting grades like excellent and all that, you know, in each lesson. So you have, they will give you a lesson. There will be some questions. You have to answer those questions, do the calculation, send it for correction. They correct it and then they send the next lesson. Every 13 or 17 days, I get one, because it used to take so much time from US to get one letter. So I get a letter today. Today itself, I do a rough work and then a fair work with a neat paper, with neat handwriting. Post it immediately tomorrow, wait for next 17 days, get the next letter. Like that, I spent 2 years. Okay. So I asked them, look, I don't you send me everything at once, I'll do everything in one go and then send you. They said, no, our rules won't permit. You have to wait one by one. So, along with the Rosicrucian course on astrology, I did their philosophy course, which is equivalent to theosophy. And also, there was one friend who was doing PhD in US and he came for his marriage. So I asked him that I want to buy some books from the US. So he gave me $17.95 of check, because I made a list of books I need that I wanted $17.95. I took that check, I sent them the check, they sent me back a book, whatever books I wanted, and we paid him, his parents, the amount of money. $1 was 15 rupees or so, something at that time. And the book that I got was the Rosicrucian Cosmo Conception. It is equivalent to our Secret Doctrine, but a much more concise, structured, and better understandable, organized version of it. I mastered that book. 1994 was the time I mastered that book. Okay. So I was also doing the philosophy courses. I completed a couple of philosophy courses. And then this Rosicrucian astrology was going on, and then I was also maintaining an astrological diary. Every day calculate what are the calculator positions, how they are relating, all that nonsense I was doing. And because of this, I came into touch with Master K.P. Gaur in 1994, November, when he came to Rajahmundry. I asked him a direct question on something to do with this Manvantaras and all that stuff. And then he was shocked and he was like, what are you doing? Why all of this? And I told him that I'm doing this. And then he was very impressed. He asked me to come to Radha Madham for 95 Guru Pujas. And that was the whole story where I got associated with him. With a lot of enthusiasm, right? So this is one journey. Now, that thing, after I got into MCA, by the time I did learn whatever I could learn from that and then left it. And then, but I was not happy. I learned all the calculations, I learned all of that. But how to interpret a horoscope is something which was beyond me. I could see all the positions, I could see all the calculations, I could understand all the symbolism. How do you relate the symbolism to your real life? Always a mystery. So I was just pursuing, but no satisfaction, right? So somehow I spent my days of MCA in Hyderabad, 3 years, somehow doing it. And when I first learned my Pascal programming language, right? So the first program I wrote was something on astrology. I developed my own Dasa system those days, actually. A Dasa system based on Rosicrucian philosophy. And writing all of the Dasa system and programming is what made me learn programming also. Anyway, that was one thing. And in 2000, when I got into my first job, that is when I had access to internet and computer properly in office, I was searching for softwares. What astrology software can I use for progression, for transits, for all these things? That is when I discovered something like Astrolog. You can still find it. Astrolog is something I found, and I used to use it for my own requirements. Now, 2001, I went to London. So, on a job assignment, and I stayed there for up to 2009, I lived in London actually. So that was another phase two. So 2001, as soon as I went there is a British Association of Astrology is there. They conduct every year conference. Worldwide astrologers meet in one place. So I booked my tickets for that. And before I went there, I wrote a paper on my own, on my observations on astrology. What are my observations? Something new that I think I have discovered, whatever. And then I took about 10-15 copies in office, staying in the weekends, and I went to the conference in 2001 September. Okay, and my mission was to meet many astrologers in person, give them the paper. So I, something like that, I gave about 10 people, I gave the paper. One lady from Amsterdam, she responded. So as soon as her lecture was over, I went to her saying that I have some other question, would you take a look? She looked at it and after when we went to breakfast, she came running to me. That it's amazing, something like that she said. And then again, she met me in the end. What she said is that, see, basically one of your observations, it matches with a recently published book by Raymond Merriman. This is amazing to me because you have independently observed the same thing. And I want to publish your article in my website. And I said, yeah, why not, just publish it. So that was the only person who responded. Nobody else responded there. So I'll come to that story later. The same year, because I was pursuing both Vedic astrology also, in Vedic astrology there is something called BAVA, British Association of Vedic Astrology. Okay, it still is, I think, very much operated. So I went to their conference also. And by that time, already I made a friend in those circles by name Visti Larsen. He's now a big celebrity in astrology.
In your conception, this Vedic astrology is different from what you mentioned in the first slide.
You mean
the yoga?
It is the same. That's what. This Vedic astrology is what I'm talking about. This Indian astrology.
Traditional astrology.
Okay. Yoga's combination, etc. And I take strong objection with calling it Vedic. I hate them calling it Vedic. It is not Vedic. It is Indian astrology, I will be happy. Again, when you are talking to a person like me who has gone so deeply into something, I have very strong opinion. So that's why I am telling you to brace your seat belts, okay? And please excuse me.
No, because you said Vedic astrology.
Yeah, they call it Vedic astrology, but I don't call it. But they call it Vedic astrology, okay? So, now, this Bhava, now if you have ever scratched this area right now, there are certain celebrities. Pandit Sanjay Rath, okay, and PVR Narasimha Rao, who wrote this Jagannath Hora software, and all of their circle, and in one of their circle, Visti Larsen is a guy from Amsterdam. He was a boy, young boy, when I was started chatting him in Yahoo Messenger in 2000, okay, he was a young boy of 16, 17 years old or so, okay, and he was so much into Vedic astrology or Indian astrology. And our Indian traditions, you will be shocked actually, okay? So I became friends with him through chatting in 2000. Now that I'm in 2001, he was coming to Bhava conference. He told me to come. I actually invited him to our house. He stayed in our house for 2 days. And we both went to Bhava conference. He introduced me to people there. He introduced me to Sanjay Rath. Sanjay Rath is the biggest celebrity. They have basically populated Indian astrology in the West a lot, really a lot. They have a very structured, huge, vast, repository of knowledge they have popularized based on our Brahmaparacha, Hora Shastra, Jaimini Sutra, all of that. Now, I'm not impressed with Sanjay Rath. Okay? He is again kind of a person who shows that authority, who tries to impress people, who bulldozes everybody in front of him, tries to impress. Great talker, great orator. You listen to his lecture one for 1 hour. You feel like you want to jump into that ocean of astrology. You just want to leave everything else and get into it. Such an impressive talker. But I'm not impressed. Okay. After a little bit of interaction with them, I put a namaskar to that whole branch of astrology. What I thought is that if this is what is true astrology, I don't want to be an astrologer. I left it there. Then this, I closed that strand in 2001. Okay, that is done. I don't want to go there. I want to stick only with my Sayana astrology, whatever I learned from Rasikrishnaism a little bit, whatever I'm trying to develop. I'll tell you why later. Now, what happened is because my article was published in a website, some people looked at it and some people responded through email. One person from Canada responded. Okay, his name is Martin Bergens. He was doing research on astrology. He said that, see, I see a rational mind in you, and rational mind and astrology are something they don't go together, and it's a very rare combination, so I want to talk to you. And he sent me an email that I am doing research in astrology. His basic, so if you read about the scientific research that happened in astrology, there's a very big name called Michel Gauquelin, a French astrologer. And that is how you pronounce it, but the actual spelling, if you look at it, it will sound like Michel Gauquelin, okay, you can search his name. He is a French astrologer who gathered 20,000-30,000 people's birth data of sports people, of doctors, of politicians, of writers, lakhs and lakhs of people's data he gathered, birth data, but and he corrected to birth hour. And what he did is, he charted that. He did not follow traditional astrology, but he divided the sky into some sectors called Gokalin sectors or Gokula sectors. What he discovered is that, see, for sports people, most of the times, Mars is either rising or on the top of the sky when they are born, mostly. And for most of the politicians, it is Jupiter. And so for most of the doctors also, it is Mars. That is his discovery. And it's a huge dispute that people fight like cats and dogs in those circles, scientific circles and astrological circles. This guy, Martin Burgeons, he was into that mode of research. What he did is, he took Gokalin's data and then he applied on his own, okay? He did, not Gokalin data, basically he did a research, he did one experiment. One experiment is, he gathered some astrologers and gathered some clients, okay? For each astrologer, he gave two horoscopes. One is right, one is wrong, okay? And each client, he comes and talks to the astrologer. This astrologer should tell whether the horoscope given to him is right or wrong based on talking to the client. That's what he did. And what he discovered is that in cases where there is more than random chance, people are able to pick correct horoscope. And he statistically proved that there is astrology is provable, scientifically. That's what he proved. On top of that, what he did is, when astrologers failed, why they are failing? They are successful in some cases, why they are not failing? Why they are failing? And what he discovered is, horoscope works only when, at the time of birth, the geomagnetic activity is above a certain level. If it is below a certain level, it is not working. That is something he tried to prove statistically. And Michel Gokula also has something to do with this geomagnetism related to astrology. So he sent me all of that material, he suggested me to read all those books. You have this aptitude to do this research and all that. So huge correspondence happened with him and me, right? And he introduced me to another person in London who was a scientist. He did astrological research in Southampton University. His name is Frank McGarrigle.
When you draw a chart, how geomagnetism enters into
the
picture?
It does not. That's what he says. So he says, chart has, it's an external factor. Complete external factor. But he says, based on the geomagnetic activity at that time or on that day, whether your horoscope works or not is determined, is what he is saying. And he does not follow traditional astrology. What he is saying is that, I don't do this traditional astrology, but there is some truth in astrology where certain positions of planets in some sectors in the sky has influence. When you don't observe the influence, that not observation is corresponding to low geomagnetic activity. That is what is his proposition, that proposition. Now, he introduced me to another guy called Frank McGillian, he was a writer, pharmaceutical industry, he is a PhD in chemistry, scientist, writer, poet, and did research into astrology, and he was into so many things. Somehow my horoscope led to all kinds of weird characters, and he is one of the weirdest characters I have met. Anyway, I met him in London, and then it's a beautiful first meeting, so I went to his house, and then we had a nice talk and all that. And basically, what they say is that the astrology that I am trying to pursue does not work. Does not work. That's what their message to me is. So, but I was so adamant that I believe that it works and I want to prove it to myself whether it works or not. So that was the mindset I had. So I stopped interaction with astrology on him, but we opened another line. Basically, because he is so well read, he introduced me to Western philosophy. So he suggested me, why don't you read this book, that book again? Because I was doing nothing except job and then sitting at home. I used to go after the libraries in our local area, picked up story of Western philosophy, read it, and I was like a drunken man always. Okay, I looked like a very docile person, but inside I'm always a drunken man. So I went and then read that Western philosophy book and then I became completely drunk with it. And then another book actually. So I mean, each phase in my life defines by one book. Well, the first big drug was the Rosicrucian Cosmoconception. The second drug I discovered in a London library was a book by Stephen Pinker called How the Mind Works. Okay? So 2002, sometime in June, because the title is so provocative, I picked up that book, How the Mind Works, by Stephen Pinker, and I read it. It kind of shattered the earth within me, because that is when it introduced me into this topic, science and rationality. Okay, and then I read all surrounding literature for that, what is scientific thinking, because I was curious. I had so many questions in my mind, was trying to find answers, and then those answers were very satisfactory for me. So I read, and that became this phase till 2019. That was what defined my mind, that thinking defined my mind of science and rationality. So I'll tell you what, reading books is one thing. I read at least 5 articles a day. Okay, I get recommendation on that. So back per year, so if per day 5 means 20 articles per week. Okay, 15 to 20, so about 1,500 articles per year. That is my life. So you can imagine how drunk a person I am. Now that said, all done. Now what I was doing is, This Western astrology, I developed my own software in 2005. I'll show you that small Java Swing based application where the way I wanted, trying to see whatever certainty that I want, whatever scientific way it looks, I was trying to reach to that, and then doing my own experiments, my spare time, doing all that. And I also writing a blog sometime in 2007. 2008, a friend from America, he said, you know so much of astrology, why don't you write something about it, right? And by the time I'm a completely radical mind. So I wrote a review of astrology in a 4-part series. Please don't search for it, okay? I will be very embarrassed. And you have to have like a 10 seatbelts to read that. But I wrote it. But I was being very neutral. Whatever subject matter I have covered so far, I have covered in the same thing. Introducing astrology, and I'm telling what is that in astrology that works or does not work, why all those questions, raise the question, try to give an answer, this side, that side, never committing to any one side. I tried to present it, and it became a hit basically. It became a hit because not because many people read, because some people who I value so much, they become friends. Okay, so that happened, but there was not much progress after that. But one guy, another weird character in my life, he read the publication. He called me. He was also in the US basically. He was into proper divination. Okay? So he read it and he was very impressed with my article. And he said, he wrote to me by email, I want to speak to you. And he called me. I was in London at that time. He said, sir, your article is very good, but you don't know one dimension of astrology, and I will show you that dimension. I said, yes. Okay. His theory is this: there is something called a Ritambhara Prajna all over this world. Okay? You can tune with it. It tells you. It is like you, once you do that sadhana or whatever, you can see at a person, and then it will tell you through some shakuna saram. For example, I told him that I want to give you a horoscope to look at. He immediately said, you are giving me a horoscope with Mena Lagna, true or false? I said, true. How did you know? Because I was so much in rational mind, he wanted to hit me with a hammer. How did you know? He said that nature told me. How did nature tell you? He said that, see, I am actually walking to my house. A car came, it made an 8 turn and then went back. That is like a symbol of Pisces. And he told me that something to do with Pisces is you are giving me. Okay, and even to prove me further, he did so many things to prove it to me. One day he said, there is open your purse, pick some paper from your purse, there will be some 8-digit number, look at that number. Okay, I looked at the number. I'm sending you an email. He sent me an email with that number. There can't be any bigger shocks to somebody who is so deeply into this. It's a shock for me. I can't believe that anything like that is possible in this world. But he had to prove me that it is possible. And one person asked him, Can you tell me where I am going for assignment? He said, you're going to Australia. How did you know? While asking the question, you are holding an ashtray. Nature told me that you're going to Australia. He was able to do those things. And he said that even by looking at a photograph, I can tell. And he made me tell certain things. For example, he said that somebody came with a problem to me. You solve the problem. I'll help you solve the problem. I said, okay, show me the picture. There was a picture, wife and husband sitting in a sofa. It's an America couple, right? There's a window. So the house was lower to the ground. So above their heads, there was a road appearing. And there's a car parked above this guy's head, okay? And he said, what can you tell? I said, I was trying to say, okay, there I see a car above his head. Maybe he's thinking about a car. No, you are applying your rational mind. No, you should not. It should come as a spurna to you. So that lady is above the head. There's a light reflected, there's a blur on the lady's head. This lady is going through illusions. Okay, he said that this lady thinks that Sai Baba speaks to her. And every congregation she goes and malaises her husband. My husband is like this, my husband is like that, my husband is that. Husband called me. And I asked him to send a photograph. He sends me the proper photograph. And there was a blur above her head. I can see that and then I could tell. And then he said, you take Tara Mantra, I'll give you Tara Mantra. And then this will come to you, I'll help you. Get this Siddhi. Now my question is, again, same dilemma as that. That guy was fake. This guy was probably not fake. He proved to me a few things. Should I go in this path or not? Another dilemma. And I said, no, I don't want to go in this path. Because what I am interested in is not being able to do divination, but understand what is it that is behind this? What is the logic? What is the process behind this? I want that knowledge. I don't want this. So I left it there. So that door I have closed it for myself. But then I hit a wall. Basically, there is astrology understanding is there to some extent, but I can't really help anybody because I can't tell anything concrete from a horoscope. I can do a lot of intellectualization on a horoscope, but I can't tell anything. Right? And then divination, I'm not going want to go to that direction. And then there is this rationality and science that's very interesting, but I went to the end of the thought process of rationality. End of the thought process. You can't go beyond that. Till that point I went. By reading very good books. You cannot imagine the kind of books I read. For example, Roger Penrose is a very big name. Okay, what he wrote. Steven Pinker's 8 volumes completely I read. Okay, so Richard Dawkins I read. God Delusion I read. Everything I read, right? But then you hit a wall in the end. Fine, so what basically rationality tells is very simple. And it is already thousands and thousands of years back we have completely explained it. And I don't have to go through all this 15 years of journey to come there. It is called the first thing that you learn in our darshanas is called Lokayata Darshana. What it says is that today, guys, all that is there is physical universe, there is nothing beyond it. That's what they tell. Your mind is a physical phenomenon. So basically what it tells is that computational theory of mind is there. Your brain works like a computer. That's it. Okay? And then, okay, how do you know that? How can you prove that mind is a computer? You can read about natural selection. Natural selection is a process where, you know, by replication, a certain organism adapts to nature, and as part of an adaptation, you have developed a brain, you have developed rational thinking, you have developed desires, you have developed emotions. There is nothing beyond it. Basically, there is no ghost in the machine, there is no Atman in a machine. You are just kind of an advanced robot, nothing beyond it. Fine, okay, I accept it. Then what? So does it give you any meaning to your life? Does it make you happy? No. What they say is that find your own meaning in your life. Fine, I'll find my own meaning in my life. I'll come whatever, I just react. I get angry, I'm happy, I'll be happy. That's it. And that is the wall you hit when you pursue that line of thought. Okay? That is why, so now you understand why Vishwamitra's story is very important. Okay? Because I have made this journey and you don't have to make this journey. And I don't think you will make this journey anyway. Next. Now, in phase 3, in 2020, I discovered Vedanta. Okay? And now I am in that phase. and I'm very happy about it so far. The journey is very happy. So why, what pushed me there is because I have hit a wall now. There's nothing else to do, nothing else to know, nothing to really learn. But there was a curiosity. Fine, when there is nothing else there, when the material universe is the only reality, what are these guys talking about? Okay? What is this whole Atman, Brahman all about? So when you say that there is no Atman, the whole edifice of spirituality will collapse completely. There's nothing, right? So where did this idea of Atman has come in this whole scheme of things? Why? Not because I want to learn, because I want to learn and then see the fault in that. That's where I started. And then again, the thought, every phase in my life defined by a book. One book hit me very, very hard that you are asking wrong questions. Okay, you're asking wrong questions. Especially in this journey, one thing is I learned some very good friends. Kind of masters who are very wise. Very, very wise, right? So one person earlier, he already told me that, see, you are looking at things in the wrong way, really, he said. What's up? There are two things. One is an experiential tradition, where you go through something through an experience, right? You learn, you do, and then you gain something. That is the tradition where you learn things. You are going in the rational tradition, which is developed in the West, where you have to apply your logic, everything, intellectualization. You cannot understand this with that. You are using wrong tools to understand something, astrology or anything. You are using a wrong tool. For example, suppose I want to know what is love, okay? So if I take a pipette and burette and a screw gauge, can I measure love with that? Cannot. It's an experience you have to go through, right? In Big Bang Theory, if anybody have you seen, Sheldon Cooper, right? He wants to make a friend. He's a scientist. So he develops a friendship algorithm. I follow this algorithm and then I make a friend. And making friendship is very, very easy. I went, again, not necessary to this, I just want to entertain you. I went to Switzerland once and to a friend's house. He had an 18-month-old baby. Myself and my wife, we went to their house, first entered into his house, sat in the hall. This baby saw us. She was like an angel, like in a white gown, a lovely gown. She saw us. You know what she did? She went into her room, brought some toys, she gave to me. Again, went into her house, brought her toys and gave it to me. I kind of melted. I took that girl into my heart and then hugged her and she became my friend. That's how you make friendship, not through friendship algorithms, right? So my friend, who is a wise man, he indicated to me in 2008, he said, only you're looking at things wrongly. You can't look at astrology from this angle. You have to understand the difference between experiential tradition and intellectual tradition. These are different. But I did not listen. Because my concern is truth. I want to know the truth. And this is the way to know the truth, is what I thought. Okay? Because anyway, so that is one story. Now I am now into Vedanta and I am very happy in this journey, and we can talk about Vedanta in a different class, maybe whatever I learn. So anything I learned, I believe, again, my friend says that whatever he knows, he can summarize and behind a postal stamp. That's it. So similarly, if you learn a subject very well, if you can summarize it in a few sentences, that is when you have learned it. Information does not matter. But if you give the insight, then that is very, you can learn the subject very easily with an insight. Right? So let us leave it there. Now, my conclusion. What is my conclusion? What have I learned in this whole arduous Vishwamitra's journey is astrology, what I have learned, is an abstract view of the inner life forces. You can get an abstract view of inner life forces. So, how can I make you understand that statement? Okay? I give you a very, very deeply personal example. In both traditions, either in a divination tradition or in this tradition, right? So, when my mother was about to get married, marriage was fixed. And then she was, March was the marriage time, during Sankranti time. She was sitting outside in the house in the veranda and then combing her hair. One jangam devara came. you know Jangam Devaras, right? Okay, when he saw her and he said, Amma, you are going to get married soon. You pelli fix ayindi, pelli vivaham kudarindi. Then she said, yes. Amma, neeku modati bidda achi raadu, modati bidda kalisi raadu. Neeku garbhadosham undi, shapam, sarpadosham undi neeku. She was shocked. She was a 16-year-old girl. Alaga em cheyali swami? Nagendrudu peru pettuko. Give him the name of Nagendra. She said, certainly. But can I do anything? Ledamma, emi cheyalo, kalisi raadu. And then he went away. That is divination. Somebody look at somebody's face and then he divined something. Suppose I look at that horoscope. Suppose I am now and the mother, 16-year-old girl comes to me or her father comes to me, gives the horoscope. I see it. What do I see? I see that her sixth house is very prominent. That means her life is always has to be serve somebody. She has no independent life. She has to serve. And in the sixth house also there is some Rahu, Ketu or whatever. So it's probably, and the fifth house connection is there, seventh house connection is there. So through her marital life and through her children, she has a lot of service to do. Lot of dedication to do. She has no other independent life. If I tell the same thing to them, is it useful? I mean, like, it is a very abstract view of something. How does it materialize? So now I hope you get the point. So you can look at a horoscope and get an abstract view. You look at my horoscope and then I can look at my horoscope and say that, yeah, this person goes through this person will have a lot of spiritual interest. Okay. Can you elaborate anything on that? Can somebody go and see that, yes, this person will try to learn astrology and fail, something like that? No. How do you know he will succeed or he will fail? How do you know he will know about something called Rosicrucianism set up in California under the correspondence course? You can look at it at a very abstract level, you can see something. Okay? Now, you say that. Let's say I see this abstract thing in your life and I say that to you. Does it help you? Divination, will it help you? Sometimes you see that there are problems. So generally, let's say you see that this person will not settle well. Or this person has serious problems. For example, I know another family, they have an autistic child. Suppose somebody who can do divination tells them that you will have a child who will be autistic. Are they helping? Is it help? Like Vasishta, can you do a remedy? Do some goseva for 21 years and then this problem will go away. You will not have an autistic child, something like that. Can you prevent that from happening? Or you do from this intellectual view of horoscope, you see, and say that you have lot of worry, whole of your life you will be worried about the child and do that. Can you give any remedy? No. So, this is what I learned after all this journey about astrology. And spiritual astrology, I have already told you, you have a spiritual astrology, but reading Master Degree Spiritual Astrology or listening to or reading Master KPK's books on spiritual astrology as an intellectual exercise is no different from this. You will talk about some levels above cosmic, solar and all those things, but have you risen to those levels? That is what matters. Okay, now, but for me, I have to somehow justify my journey, right? So I'm justifying my journey that this level of abstraction helped me here, actually. I'll tell you why. At least life has done some justice to me. Somehow I have to say that. So I'll say that, okay? So basically, why looking at a life in a very abstract way helps you spiritual growth, I can justify it like this, okay? In the end, Vedanta, the essence of Vedanta is that there is something called Brahman, which is the source of everything, the source of our being, right? Now, the spiritual journey is to go to the source of your being. Gayatri Mantra says that, or whatever meditation, everything, right? Now, we are stuck in concrete ideas, in concrete concepts, Nama and Rupa. Everything is Nama and Rupa. Astrology helps transcend that. give you a concrete example. Okay, suppose in office my manager, one manager is very aggressive and he is torturing me because he does not like my style of working, right? Now I am very angry, and you are not angry enough if you don't want that person to die. So you want that person to die, you are very, very angry, you can't do anything, you're helpless, right? You are very angry. Now you have two choices. One is you try to gather all your forces, fight back, okay, create a group, do play some politics, sabotage that guy, go to his manager, complain, get into a whole lot of entanglement, you can go and make your life, entertain yourself for 10 years and entertain others for 10 years. And after 10 years anyway, that person will go, your job will change, but 10 years of your life you have entangled yourself, that you can do. The other way, if you really want to do a spiritual journey, is to sit and then take that situation into your being, remove the nama, remove the rupa, okay? And then that feeling when he said in front of everybody you are useless, right? What did it cause you? It caused a feeling, inner feeling, hurt. Get to that, okay? Get to that hurt, feel it, okay? Where is it coming from? Okay, where is it coming from? And just meditate and sit on that feeling, and then you will be able to transcend it. But for that, you have to learn to remove the nama and rupa. And astrology helps you to remove a nama and rupa. So when you look at your horoscope for the situation, okay, on my 10th house cusp, there is a Mars aspect at that time, and then Moon aligned with it. You intellectualize it basically. Okay, this is what has caused it. Okay, there is a cause, there is some kind of a plan, some kind of a thing behind this situation. And I am reacting to this. I am reacting to something which is, he did not do it intentionally. I did not do it intentionally. It happened because of some alignment there. And I am reacting to this. Let me see. Now you study the horoscopes of 1,000 horoscopes you study. Everything that you see is an arrangement of a life force. You stop looking at nama and rupa. You look at the horoscope of Bill Gates, you look at the horoscope of Narendra Modi. If I look at the horoscope of Narendra Modi, what do I see? I don't see a great man or anything. I see that whoever this person is, he has such an organizational strength behind him. He is a normal man. There is an organizational structure behind him. That is his strength. There is a whole, probably a Gujarati community behind him. There is a business community behind him. There is an RSS community behind him. Okay? Now you stop seeing Narendra Modi, you start seeing an energy there, which is an alignment. And it manifested as a name, as Narendra Modi, as somebody. Okay? Same, every horoscope, every life, and your own life. Then when you see back, look back at your own life, you will realize that, okay, I am not such a bad person when I believe that I have done so many horrible things in my life. It's fine. I am not such a capable person either. Is it because of my talents that I went to London and then did all of this? No, there was some alignment somewhere. And it's a journey that happens because of all these multiple factors, forces happening. And then you start relaxing. And whenever things keep coming, arrows coming at you or flowers coming at you, you sit, and then that helps your meditation. That helps going back. Now, whenever any of these feelings overwhelm you, you say that, okay, fine, I'll make a regular practice of meditation. I start a regular practice of seeing things till I reach the source of my being. These things will happen anyway. If tomorrow people will say that Murali is a horrible person, tomorrow people will say that Murali is a great person, it doesn't matter. It's just a feeling in the end. Okay? I hear that somebody said something about me. Okay, what is it that's causing? Go back. For that, your japa, your meditation, you will be fixing. And astrology, this 30 years of wasted time helps me in this, not to divine, not to help anything. And anybody, when somebody comes, for example, my mother, 17 years old, girl who is about to be married and who has to have a problematic child, comes to me, at this state of mind, she comes to me, I say that, Amma, start doing meditation every day. Start doing puja every day. No matter what happens in your life, have faith. That helps you have this journey, gain something meaning out of it. For that, astrology helps. Now I leave this question to you. Is astrology really useful or not? You decide. I will be very happy if you don't have a class tomorrow or next week. Okay? I will be very happy because you have made a decision. please feel free. Okay. Now that said, I have understood astrology. I'll also sell it a little bit. Okay. Now, you want to break?
Yeah.
Also sell it because I have undersold it. Now I'll sell it also a little bit. Now, what can I offer? What can I offer in astrology? Okay. See, after those 30 years, I have something. Little bit, not with this, not like this. And a little bit of insight. I'll teach you how to do it. I'll show you the software I develop. And then we'll do something together, we'll form a study group, do something about that software. And what I can offer is, see, the course in astrology, core of astrology is just this. You have to understand what is zodiac. You have to understand what are planets. You have to understand what are houses, what are aspects, what is progression. A combination of all of this is what you have to understand. It won't take more than 5 classes to cover all of that. 5 classes, 6 classes. Then we can do some practice sessions on horoscope reading. We can take 10 horoscopes, any number of horoscopes you can take. But don't keep your expectations too high. All you get is useless intellectualization, but not more than that. Yeah. Okay. But I can tell you some techniques I have developed. I can tell the techniques, I can explain the techniques, and you will not find any of what I say in any textbook because it is my own insight. For example, when I explain about planets, I give you only one keyword for each planet, one word, and you will be able to derive the entire theme of the planet from that keyword. Same for houses. And then we can show the progression and everything. Yeah? So this is what we will do. And any other thing if you are interested in. For example, if you want to know what are nakshatras, I can tell. But I don't use nakshatras in my analysis. If you want to know some other topic, like what are Amsas, what are Navamsa, what is Dvadashamsa, what is Antardasha, how do you calculate? All of that I can do. If you want to pursue that Indian astrology, the so-called Vedic astrology, I can refer to some materials. Right? All of that we can do.
So, you talk about zodiac, you don't look at nakshatra.
I'll jump to that, sir. Yeah. So, yeah. So, up to you. Whatever you can ask, feel free to ask. Don't think that I know everything. No, not at all. I know very little. I'll give it to you. And the other benefit, because I'm relating it to Vishwamitra's story, whatever little I have, if I give to you, I'll be lightened. Vishwamitra, what he did at the end? He has earned so many astras. Right? A huge burden in his head for his progress. So what he did? He made Sri Rama sit. He said, Sri Rama, you are the most eligible person. I have so much baggage in my head, I'll give it to you. And I am so happy. So I'm giving all of my baggage to you today. And consequently, I will see very light today. Yeah?
You have to restore your friendship of your American friend now.
Sorry?
You have to restore your friendship with your American friend.
He is in touch. He knows he is in touch. I told him that he calls me sometimes. He suddenly calls and says, he called me a few months ago, that sir, there is somebody who had black fungus. He is in the Dashamahavidyas. You know, anybody knows about Dashamahavidyas? Tara, Dhumavati, Chinnamasta, all those things. All those mantras and all. He said, I want to urgently get some japa done for, what is that? I want somebody who is a very Kshatriya Brahmin who can take Upadesha from him and do it. Then I introduced him to one Purohit in Rajmahal and he denied. He said, no, I don't take Upadesha through phone, so I won't do it. And another entertaining example from that guy, I'll tell you. One day, he used to talk a lot to me on phone. Okay, He was impressed because of my sincerity and the way I treated the subject in the article. Otherwise, he has no intention to do it. He wanted me to introduce to that dimension. There was one famous Telugu writer by the name Mallad Krishnamurthy. He was his disciple. His wife called him once. And he said, you are cutting onions right now. I'm talking to him. Stop that first. He has a mantra vasana. And one day he said, he called me on a Sunday afternoon. And he said, don't tell your wife. You have no intention to go out now. But your wife will wake up and says, let's go out. you will get something pink into your house, then call me. Was again 2008 something. So I was silent. Around 3 o'clock, my wife woke up. Nothing to do. Only let's go for shopping. Okay, fine. I went to shopping. No intention to buy anything. Just window shopping. We already had our elder daughter then. Then she suddenly saw one pink frock. She liked it. Let's buy it. She brought it. And she bought it. My husband was like, what is happening? Oh, and then I called him. He said that you are getting a second baby. So happened within a few months, we came to know that she was there. These things exist. That's what he wanted to prove to me. And I accept that those things exist, but I'm not interested in that.
That activity of chanting mantra, Purohit chanting mantra for us on our behalf, is that scientific and is it correct?
I have no idea, really.
Because I've heard of it, because I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Basically, when something is not good, people say that you get some japa done, right? So it happens even and the idea is you have to have diksha, mantra diksha something to do that. But you can't, you're not eligible to do all of that, right? So you appoint a proper Vedic Brahman who can do it properly. So he takes Varuna from you, he takes order from you, performs on your behalf, and then he gives it back to you. That is the idea. Has it worked or not? I don't know. Because I can't comment. Okay.
You said that you don't have any correction, but I heard that you have correction on astrology in only respect to the Indian system of astrology, where corrections can be done.
Correction? Yeah. No, it's not like that. See, astrology is everywhere. That is remedial astrology. We're talking about remedies, right? Remedies exist in the West also. See, in West, what happened? I'll tell you that story. There is an authoritative text called Christian Astrology by William Lilly. That was something like 15th or 16th century old textbook. Like our Brihadparashara Haura Shastra and all that, they consider it as a authoritative text right now. That is very similar to what our Indian astrology does, like yogas, combinations and all that. Intellectualization won't be there. Intellectualization is a very recent phenomenon. It happened only in the past 200 years. So Christian astrology is very much like our astrology. They have their own remedies. But in the West, because of this enlightenment principles and scientific revolutions, right? They tried their level best to kill astrology. Even Alain Leo had to face a lawsuit because he was doing fortune telling. Fortune telling was banned in England by law. By law it was banned. So astrology was under black market those days. So people who have to consult an astrologer, they have to go and any spy watches you going to an astrologer telling his horoscope, he'll be jailed. So they tried to kill it, their level best. So the tradition is gone. That whole thing is gone. Only because of... And these days, in astrological magazines and all, they're trying to revive the old traditions. So they're going back to this Christian astrology and all that. But they had all those things. Okay, now what is the time now? It is almost 10:30. So I think we can conclude our actual topics that I'm going to cover. The other topic I want to cover is like, what is Zodiac? And then what are the question that you have asked, right? Signs as constellations and signs as 30 degree divisions and all these things. What is precession of equinoxes? So all those things. I think we can do it maybe from next class. Today is just gas. There is nothing more than that. Yeah. But feel free. That is my approach always. Always, if you have any thoughts, always speak up. Don't hesitate to ask questions. And if I am too strong in some times, please accept my apologies. That's not my intention because I'm so passionate about it. I talk like that. I intend no hurt to anybody. So please pardon me on that. Yeah. So then let us conclude for the day, and then we'll conclude with the Shanti Mantra.
Om Loka Samasta Sukhinam Bhavantu, Loka Samasta Sukhinam Bhavantu, Loka Samasta Sukhinam Bhavantu, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
ఇక్కడ క్లాస్ లీడర్ అంటారు.